Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
West Florida, Baldwin County as well. That's going to be more like around lunchtime, maybe 11 noonish, around that time frame here. Some heavy rain potentially in the area. And look at this model, 1, 2, 3 o'clock in the afternoon, showing just a ton of thunderstorm activity and rainfall in the area, even putting on some purple colors, which would really lean toward the possibility of hail. We'll see if that ends up happening here across the area.
Yeah, I don't know. We'll see this afternoon, you know, somewhere around 10 or 11 in the midday, and then going through about 2 or 3 in the afternoon. That's Alan Strom last night on the Channel 3 News at 10, talking about, you know, the weather we're expecting today. So just be prepared for hail, maybe. In April, in Pensacola, happy days. Yeah, wow, it should. And like 2.5 inches of rain.
Okay, the only thing we haven't had go through Pensacola is like volcanic lava at this point.
Why are you asking for such a thing?
I'm not. I'm just saying.
I think you just dared the universe to bring us volcanoes.
You know what? I do, because Pensacola is the most resilient city in the nation.
So when we get hit with a volcano in, you know, Molino, then you'll know it was Candy's fault.
Yeah, right.
712 on News Radio 92.3. Interesting story about Steven Spielberg. He does an interview with Time Magazine. Yeah, they still exist. With Time Magazine, they kind of their summit. It's about a 17-minute interview. I watched as much of it as I could endure, because for the most part, the guy doing the questioning, not fun. he does ask the right question eventually. He kind of stumbles his way into it about censorship and wokeness and editing the past and standards of today versus standards at the time.
Looking back at your body of work, I know I feel, well, are there films you would edit that you would, looking back at them, say, I as an editor, I feel that way about some time covers, not yours. But is there a sense of, I know at one point you...
Okay, come on. Say the question. Say the question and let him answer.
Took some guns out of E.T. and then regretted
it. That was a mistake. That was a mistake. I never should have done that, because E.T. is a product of its era. And no film should be revised based on the lenses we now are either voluntarily or being forced to peer through.
You would think that's a fairly common sense thing to say, but that is directly at odds with the wokeists and the cancel culture, right? Their whole movement is edit the past and cancel the past on the basis to which it does not comply with our views in the present. I love the phrase he has there at the end. Either the things we voluntarily or are feeling coerced into applying modern lenses on old-time art. If you don't know the backdrop, E.T., when it first came out, E.T. is a movie about an extraterrestrial that befriends some... I mean, come on, you know that a lot of people haven't seen E.T.
Elliot.
Okay, listen, for those of you who haven't seen E.T., if you have ever heard the phrase phone home, it comes from that movie.
E.T. phone home.
That's exactly it.
That sounded like the Red Rum guy.
Yeah, and, no. Wait, aren't they the same?
I don't know, Mr.
That's
McKay.
Also a movie referring to, or an old movie reference for those of you who don't know. Anyway, moving on. In the movie... And I don't mean to spoil any endings for you, but there's a scene where the federal agents come in and invade the home because there's, you know, aliens and whatnot, and they have guns. There's also a scene where Elliot and his friends and kids are riding the bikes, and they're getting ready to ride right into a police blockade, and, you know, the telekinetic operative alien invader E.T., I mean, you don't know his intentions, he flies the bikes right up and over the cars, and you can see... The police on the near side in the shot are holding, one's got a shotgun, one's got a gun, and they've edited those to make them walkie-talkies for the 20th anniversary edition of E.T. So they edited backwards, they CGI'd walkie-talkies in for the guns in those scenes.
But E.T. was a film that I was sensitive to the fact that the federal agents were approaching a bunch of kids with their firearms exposed. And I thought I would change the guns into walkie-talkies. But E.T. was, and that was because years had gone by, and I had changed my own views. I should never have messed with the archive of my own work, and I don't recommend anybody really do that. Your film, all our movies are a kind of measuring, sort of a signpost of where we were when we made them, and what the world was like, and what the world was receiving when we got those stories out there. So I really regret having done that.
Absolutely. I regret having done that. I regret altering the historical record of art in this country. I gave in to an impulse that I should not have given into. And amen. Let the art be what the art is. Whatever the book is, whatever the statue is, whatever the painting is, whatever the monument is, whatever the statue is, let it be what it is. I totally agree with him about this.
You feel that way about, this is such a current topic across literature and art in general, taking certain language out of Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. Is this a feeling you have across the world of art that we shouldn't apply today's standards to yesterday's work?
Nobody should ever attempt to take the chocolate out of Willy Wonka, ever. You know, and they shouldn't take the chocolate or the vanilla or any other flavor out of anything that has been written. It is absolutely, for me, it is sacrosanct. It's something that is our history. It's our cultural. It's our cultural heritage.
Warts and all.
Yeah, I do not believe in censorship that way. Okay.
I'm glad they applauded with a whoop. I'm a little disappointed at how tepid the applause was. That's a robust applause line. I don't believe in censorship. I don't believe that 1984 was meant to be an instruction how-to manual. I think that we ought to let stuff be what it was, let it be what it is, and don't take the chocolate or the Oompa Loompas or the guns out of Charlie. The issue was not the chocolate, right? Although you never know in the future what it might be. I mean,
if Michelle
Obama becomes president, she might try to take the chocolate out. You know, just who knows? Because that's where these things go. You don't know what could get censored in the future. 717 on News Radio 92.3. Candy's got traffic on the fives.
Looks like everything's running smoothly, not showing any problems. Gregory Street doing just fine. Palafox taking a look downtown. Also, Scenic and Cervantes, the curve there, and Mobile Highway, all doing just fine this morning. Certainly, if you see an accident or have a traffic tip, 437-1620. And as Andrew mentioned earlier, horrible weather, possible hail this afternoon. So keep that in mind for later. It's News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
By the way, I think the timetable on that has moved up. As I'm looking at the weather right now, we got some pretty serious weather right over the southern portion of Alabama and mid to southeast Mississippi. So we might be getting some of this weather sooner than we had expected. So any moment, basically, for our listening area. Hey, if you're thinking about buying or selling a home, you want somebody who's going to handle the job professionally and get you the best results and shepherd it all the way through the process and get it to the end finish line. And that means getting you the best price selling and the lowest price buying. And I've talked with Christina Leavenworth recently. She says, yeah, we're getting good deals on, you know, like new builds even. You might not think of how a realtor can help you with a new build, but she says, we're working with people that want to get homes, and we're finding sometimes we can get really smoking deals on the new builds because a little bit overbuilt at the moment. But on the sell side, same thing. You know, how do you make the most out of this particular situation? Well, in my view, okay, this is my view. You decide whether you agree with me or not. I want somebody who does this not once a year. You know, when I take my car to a mechanic, I want to take it to somebody who's worked on several hundred cars last year, not somebody who handled one or two. But with realtors, it's the same thing. Look, more than half the realtors in this area, 3,000 on the MLS, 1,600 of them sold no homes in the first quarter. Because most realtors, you know, by number, most sell zero, one, or two homes in a year, maybe three, something like that. And what I would prefer to have is somebody who's not doing their one a year. I'd rather have somebody who's really doing this routinely and knows the process and is going to get the best results. Christina had more than 200 last year. She's one of only seven that has more than 30 so far this year, 36 and then 29 under contract. So you just decide, you know, who do you want working for you? Somebody who does this all the time, does it effectively and gets great results and people love her, or, you know, whoever else you might be considering. That's it. 723-9158 for Christina Leavenworth and her team at Levin Rinke Realty.
Here's today's Strength for Life with your host, Pastor James C. Johnson.
One of my favorite church hymns on the topic of prayer is entitled, I Must Tell Jesus. The four verses deal with two topics, handling heavy burdens and fighting sinful temptation. Here are the words to the first verse. I must tell Jesus all of my trials. I cannot bear these burdens alone. In my distress, he kindly will help me. He ever loves and cares for his own. That's powerful, right? Here are the words of the fourth verse. Oh, how the world to evil allures me. Oh, how my heart is tempted to sin. I must tell Jesus and he will help me over the world the victory to win. Ladies and gentlemen, whatever you're facing today, whether it's heavy burdens or it's sinful temptation, take time to pray and tell Jesus and let him work in your life.
That was James C. Johnson. He serves as the pastor of North Stone Baptist Church in Pensacola, Florida. For more Strength for Life, please visit our website, strengthforlife.church.
As a business owner, you have a lot on your plate, from managing staff, growing your business, training new hires, and more. With so much going on, you need Avalon. As an IRS-certified PEO, Avalon HR can help. From running your payrolls, remitting state and federal taxes, helping with COVID employee retention credits, workers' compensation insurance, employee benefits, and their HR expertise. Avalon HR lets you focus on your core business while we handle the rest. Avalon HR, employing made easy.
When you're an innovative business, every blinking cursor, every blank page is an opportunity. What will you do with it? Will you make something better or create something new? Our Dell Technologies advisors provide you with tools and expertise to do incredible things. Because we believe there's an innovator in all of us. For advice on smart PCs powered by Intel vPro that's built for business, call a Dell Technologies advisor at 877-ASK-DELL.
You know what you want to do in retirement, but do you know how to get there? Tune in to What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair of Swan Capital, Saturdays at 1 to get answers to your retirement planning questions. Plan today so you can do all the things you've dreamt about doing in retirement. Don't miss What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair, Saturdays at 1. Firm offers insurance services, advisory services offered through Swan Capital, LLC.
The Dave Ramsey Show, afternoons at 1, after Brian Kilmeade on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Ni!
No, ni, not tonight ni. You say ni.
The same! We shall say ni again to you if you do not appease us.
This dirty old part of the city, where the sun refused to shine. People tell me there ain't no use in trying. Now, my girl, you're so young and pretty.
A bipartisan group of senators are proposing new rules for protecting kids on social media. A newly introduced bill would make 13 the legal minimum age for joining any social media platform. And it would require companies to conduct more rigorous verification. Teens under 18 would need verified parental consent to sign up for an account. And platforms could not use algorithms to target content to minors. The Federal Trade Commission would be given authority to enforce these rules.
Very interesting. I'm for it. Like, I think we have been way too lax on this stuff. I think that, you know, maybe 10 years down the road, maybe 20 years down the road, it's going to be one of those things where, you know, how we look back and are amazed that they let, you know, cocaine and heroin be basically used as over-the-counter ingredients for all kinds of stuff 100 years ago. You know, that's the way we're going to look back and think about social media. Like, did you know that in the early 21st century that they just let kids use this stuff? You know, like, that's going to be the attitude of people who realize, sure. Oh, my God, this was really not a good plan. 724 here on News Radio 92.3. Let's see. We got David Wayne in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, flooding in the upper Mississippi River now has a lot of communities up north packing sandbags, some other people evacuating. NBC News Maggie Vespa was reporting from Davenport, Iowa, where forecasters there are predicting a potentially historic disaster.
I can tell you, just being here for the last 48 hours or so, the water has basically been moving up a city block every 24 hours.
And snowmelt in northern Minnesota causing the river to rise, threatening communities downstream. Forecasters think the river will reach its third highest ever level recorded in Iowa by this Saturday.
Wow.
That can be really bad. The Pope allowing women to vote for the first time at a meeting of bishops. The Vatican made that announcement Wednesday, a move by Pope Francis designed to give women more say in the Roman Catholic Church. And more speculation that Governor DeSantis could announce his official campaign for president by mid-May. NBC News reporting that they've been told by GOP sources that Supporters want the governor to jump into the race as early as May 11th.
Yeah. Now that we're working on the, you know, the clarification of the law regarding his eligibility to run for president without having to resign from the office of governor, which has been kind of an ongoing concern. David, thanks so much for the update. And yeah, the issue with the, I talked about this last hour, but the issue with the women in this synod, just one bit of, just to make sure people are aware, the Pope will still have to make the end decision. This is a recommendation panel, basically, that the women are going to get to participate in. So for people who might think that this is, you know, as the AP reported, I think wrongly, this is some huge sea change in the way Catholics do business with regards to women and their authority over men. No, it's not. I mean, they have input, but the Pope is the one who's making the decision. That's the key distinction. 725, Candy's got traffic on the fives.
It's like 98 is slow as you head towards Lillian Highway. And, of course, that's eastbound. Caution wherever you are, 437-1620. Text if you have a traffic tip. News Radio 98. 2-3 informative, local, dependable.
Oh, I should have gotten a trigger warning with this text. I got a text from a friend. You know, we were talking about Steven Spielberg and E.T. Yeah. And, you know, retroactive censorship, which he says he wishes he had not done. And I agreed. Just like stupid Han Solo shooting first, you know, and Greedo in the cantina and George Lucas. Come on, man. Stop it. You know what I'm talking about?
I do know what you're talking about. Yeah.
And you agree, I hope, right? This is like our friendship hangs on this issue.
Of course, yes.
Okay, good. Han Solo shot first. It was not self-defense.
Okay,
he's a rogue. He's a scoundrel. Go ahead.
Oh, no. That's why I always watch director's cuts of movies.
Oh.
Because I want to see their original vision.
Yeah, exactly right.
But,
In this particular case, I didn't get a warning. I just open up a picture somebody sent me, and lo and behold, it's a picture of the single worst video game ever made in the history of video games. It's a screen grab of the E.T. Nintendo game.
Which is the worst game. I love who sent it to you, too.
Genuinely the worst, yeah. So thanks for that. Thanks for ruining my whole day with that particular
whatever, good sir. Thanks for ruining his whole day. Okay. I appreciate you. And I love seeing you.
You know, can I say this? This is just, that's got me thinking about something. My wife and I love to watch the Discovery Channel. I think it's Discovery Channel. Has these series that are like, you know, the men that made America and the businesses and the like the games and toys that made America and all this stuff. And we've been watching one recently. It was about Nintendo versus Sega versus, and it was originally supposed to be the Nintendo PlayStation.
That's
Nintendo turned them down, stupidly. You know, but anyway.
Well, who knew?
Yeah, right, yeah, exactly. Anyway, but no, what I find fascinating about all of these stories, and the pattern is very similar. The people who have made it, this offends me as a person who believes in virtue and decency and doing right, but here's the truth of it. If I can tell you my grand sweeping takeaway from all of these dozens of stories we've watched about businesses and titans of industry and video game designers and everything else is the thieves win. The thieves always win. They always stole it from somebody, and they're the ones who wound up making the millions. And, you know, whether it's the Cabbage Patch Kids or whether it's the, you know, the video game system or whether it's, you know, Rockefeller and Carnegie.
I was going to say, or oil. He drank your milkshake.
Across the board. The virtuous inventor, good guy, you know, who kind of like just does the right thing and comes up with the idea is never the one who wins at the end. It is always the scurrilous, no values, no principles scoundrel who's willing to steal. And like there was one, this is the most amazing thing. So this is a small example. This was a woman who was working for one of the game designer moguls, a guy who designed like Mousetrap and, you know, Rock'em Sock'em Robots and all of these things. And she came up with a game, and I don't even remember the name of the game. It wasn't one I had heard of. But she came up with it like on her own time outside of work. And she went behind his back, like to one of their people, and sold the game to them. And they produced it. And it was kind of a hit. And then he found out, did polygraphs on all the employees, found out that she was the one who did it, fired her, and then went to that company and said, if you don't delete this product and give me the royalties you were going to pay her, we won't sell you any more of our IP for our future games. And they did it.
Oh, that's sad. But that happens all the time.
That's all the time. Yes, yeah, all the time with these people.
You want to get a lawyer and patent and all that. It's truly.
Yeah, no, the
I bet you thought of stuff that somebody produced later.
Oh, yeah, but I always figure I'm not willing to go start a business to do it.
Sure.
I know I'm that guy. I've thought of a lot of things, and I thought, I'll just put it on the radio, or I'll send somebody a note. Hey, this would be a good idea. You can probably make $500,000 doing it. But, you know, like, I know I don't have the diligence to be a business owner. Which, by the way, that's one of the reasons I respect business owners so much. I know. I don't 100%. Have the patience or the organizational sense or the, you know, people sometimes say to me, Andrew, why wouldn't, you know, don't you want to run for office? Oh, hell no. Like,
you'd be great.
I know, but I know my own limitations. Maybe on the legislature's side, but certainly not on the administrative side. I don't have the skills. I don't have the interest. I would not be the one to put up with all of it. I think business owners, they're the ones that, you know, they do it. They do it all the time. And that's why I genuinely respect the work they do.
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. Former President Trump's request to block his vice president, Mike Pence, from speaking to a grand jury is denied by a federal appeals court.
That jury's investigating efforts to undo the results of the 2020 election. They're also looking into the January 6 riots, which sent Pence into hiding at a docking bay on Capitol Hill while protesters chanted, "Hang Mike Pence."
Fox's Jill Nato. House Republicans, with no votes to spare, pass a bill to raise the debt ceiling and cut future spending.
We can't continue doing what we've always done with $31 trillion in debt.
South Carolina Republican Nancy Mace on Fox Business. Democrats like former House Speaker Nancy Pelosi from California say no to the spending cuts.
You will vote to put veterans' health care risk at risk, eliminating up to 30 million health care visits for our veterans.
The bill won't get through the Senate, controlled by Democrats. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 7:31. It's News Radio 92.3 right now. It is 73 degrees here in Pensacola. We are watching this line of storms that is moving into our area now. Probably seeing some rain over in the western edge of Escambia County, possibly. But we'll be watching this as it moves through the day. Again, there is a severe thunderstorm watch that's going to be in effect for the entire listening area. Some possibly severe weather here throughout the day. The Florida Highway Patrol looking for a black sedan involved in a Wednesday afternoon hit and run that happened about 4 o'clock yesterday on Pace Boulevard and Avery Street. Two pedestrians, including a child, were struck and taken to the hospital. No other details released. If you have any information, contact FHP. The effort to revitalize the Brownsville neighborhood continuing with plans for the area's first library. Escambia County Commissioner Lumen May says it'll be housed in the old Masonic Lodge on West DeSoto and Shoemaker.
This library is going to help to just be another piece to the puzzle that hopefully we make Brownsville a wonderful walking community where we're going to be able to sit back in 10 years and look at, you know, what really happened, how we really took a historic neighborhood and revitalized it.
And Lumen May says the renovation project has now been in the works for over 3 years. It should cost about $2 million to complete. It's not known exactly when construction is expected to begin, but plans for the library do feature computer areas, meeting rooms, and even a little cafe. Two more public access weekends coming to NAS Pensacola next month. That means another chance to access the Naval Aviation Museum, the Lighthouse, Fort Barrancas. NAS says the public access weekends will be granted May 4th through the 7th and the 11th through the 14th. Now, those are both four-day spans, including a Thursday and a Friday. In order to enter, you'll have to go through the West Gate on Blue Angel Parkway and have a real ID for anybody over 18. And like always, you cannot take any weapons on base. That does include concealed carry license holders. The feud between Disney and the state now heating up again. Walt Disney's filed a lawsuit against Governor DeSantis.
The lawsuit claims that targeted campaign of government retaliation is threatening the company's business and violating its constitutional rights. Disney filed the lawsuit yesterday in the U.S. District Court for North Florida. The lawsuit alleges five different violations, including two free speech, property rights, due process, and violation of contract. The feud has been going on ever since Disney opposed Florida's parental rights and education bill. During a special legislative session earlier this year, Florida lawmakers voted to end Disney's self-governing status through the Reedy Creek Special District. Joe Ford, News Radio 92.3.
Thank you very much, Joe. This weekend kicks off Pensacola's Crawfish Festival downtown. It's going to run Friday, Saturday, Sunday at Seville Square and Fountain Park downtown. In addition to crawfish, there's music, admission gates located on Government and Zaragoza streets, and tickets only $5 a day for adults, $2 a day for kids. Again, that's happening this weekend downtown. Are you a crawfish fan, Candy?
I don't like the crawfish, but I like everything else in that festival. The funnel cakes, all of the food, all of the seafood, the gyros. The eating. Are you? You're a crawfish fan.
Yes, I love it all.
You should enter. Have you been to the festival yet?
I have not.
I know you've been here. Okay. It is amazing. And like the best and worst part is watching the crawfish contest, the eating contest.
Right.
They're so gross. And they're so fun.
Well, I can't wait. I'm going to have to check
that out. You should enter.
You think so?
Yes. I will pay for you to enter. And it's Fiesta does such a wonderful job. You're probably going to me for traffic.
I suppose we should probably get a traffic.
We also got an announcement. People are concerned about tall ships, of course, and we have that severe weather coming in. As I understand, there is a captain's meeting at 10 o'clock with the Coast Guard to see what they can do about the arrival. So we're going to stay on that. I'm sure you will, too. Roads are fine, not showing any problems. Taking a look down at the Port of Pensacola, everything seems fine. We're not showing any slowdowns yet. 437-1620. We have traffic tips, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Aye.
Thank you very much, Candy. Now for a look at our Channel 3 forecast.
We're going to be seeing showers and thunderstorms as we go into the afternoon and evening. Weather alert day is a few storms could be strong, high near 75. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 67. Some isolated showers still possible on Friday with a 30% chance of rain, high near 80 degrees. Friday night, temperatures dropping near 63. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
And right now it is 73 here in Pensacola. Again, that line of storms is now pushing into Escambia County, probably seeing some rain in some portions of the county. Looks like it's definitely getting windier and cloudier here at the station as well. 73 in Pensacola, 72 in Gulf Breeze, 70 in Milton. We'll keep watching this weather throughout the day. Your next news at 8, breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne, News Radio 92.3.
I'm Jennifer Kashinka with Your Money Now. Shares of Facebook parent Meta Platforms are up 12% in pre-market trading after the company reported its first increase in sales in nearly a year due to continued improvements in its advertising business. Revenue in the latest quarter rose 3% from a year ago to $28.6 billion. BP is bracing itself for a shareholder revolt at its annual general meeting today, as some of the UK's biggest pension funds are planning to ratchet up the pressure on the oil major after it rolled back its emission reduction targets in the wake of record profits. Theranos founder Elizabeth Holmes has successfully delayed the start of her 11-year prison sentence after deploying a last-ditch maneuver to avoid serving time as she appeals her multiple fraud convictions. Holmes was previously ordered by a judge to report to prison today. On Wall Street, futures are little changed after stocks closed mixed yesterday. The Dow Industrials fell 229. That's Your Money Now.
Hi, this is Earl Ron. I'm the president of New South Window Solutions. What I'd like people to understand about our company is what's unique about us. We manufacture, we install, we guarantee. We go out of our way to make it easy. The most important thing that New South offers is very simple, absolutely true factory direct pricing. From our factory, to our truck, to your driveway. Most other window companies are either resellers, a wholesaler, a contractor, a distributor, a sales organization. We eliminate those levels of marketing, so you're paying true factory direct pricing.
Going on now, save 35% off factory direct windows and doors. Call 1-800-NEW-WINDOWS.
Join Stephen Schmidt, Marine Service Technology Instructor at Georgetown Technical College on the Pensacola Expert Panel tomorrow at 10 a.m. Key Marine Center is sponsoring the show. When Key Marine needs to hire Marine Service Technicians, they hire students from Georgetown Technical College. It's a dream team, so join them tomorrow at 10 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
News Radio 92.3 is Pensacola's radio home for informative, local, and dependable news and talk. Listen to local talk in your morning and afternoon drive. Local experts during the day with the Pensacola Expert Panel. And national talk with Brian Kilmeade and Dave Ramsey. Listen to local news and Fox News at the top and bottom of every hour. Along with WEAR News during your afternoon drive and at 10 p.m. We have your traffic on the fives during your commute. And when breaking news hits, we have you covered. News Radio 92.3, now heard on 95.3 and AM 1620.
Is there a reason you're doing this right now, Councilman?
I'll say it coincides well with the opening of the skate park, but that wasn't what prompted it.
Okay.
Something I've been working on actually for a few months, and really just doing a lot of research about vibrant communities and active transportation, and that's without going into any merits. That's really what prompted all of this.
So this is Charles Baer, City Councilman Charles Baer, District 2, asking City Councilman Casey Jones, District 3, I think that's right. Anyway, I'm sorry if I got it wrong. I believe that's right, though, about why he's proposing to repeal the downtown ban on skateboarding in Pensacola, something which will be on the City Council agenda tonight. Or I should say, I actually just got a note in from Don Crair, the City Council executive, who says that Casey's going to be pulling that item tonight. So he's going to come up with a slightly different approach. So apparently that's not quite what we're going to talk about tonight. But I did want to get some perspective from the police because, you know, we have Mike Wood, who is the public information officer for the Pensacola Police Department, joining us as he always does on a Thursday. Mike, welcome back to the program, sir.
Good morning.
Good morning. So apparently the little bit of this is going to change for tonight at City Council, but that's okay. It's still worth talking about. Not very much enforcement of this, or is it? You tell me. PPD, I know you do whatever the council says, but it was skateboarding downtown a problem before, and how much enforcement have you had to do with this since the 3 years it was put into place?
It wasn't a huge problem when officers saw violations. You know, they're on a sidewalk when it's too crowded, or maybe skateboarding in traffic. They would most of the time warn skateboarders. So they would warn them, and I think maybe some written warnings were issued. I'm not aware of any citations, but it wasn't a huge problem for us. We would answer complaints mostly on private property, where the property owner didn't want the skateboarders on private property. We did more of that than we did on sidewalks and roadways.
Sure, that makes perfect sense. And the way I've kind of described it is, I can see why we don't want skateboarders going down Palafox. There's just too much going on Palafox a lot of the time for that to be safe, for the same reason that we don't want people on scooters on the sidewalks on Palafox, and we don't want skateboarders on the streets either, because that's not safe for them. Generally speaking, we'd prefer them to just, you know, pick it up and walk for a little ways. But as far as having a law in place, that seems like a bit much. But like I said, we'll kind of see what Casey Jones wants to do now that he seems to be interested in pulling that item from tonight's agenda. One of the other we didn't start with this, but I should start at least in this place. Anything incidents wise, and I know we don't like the Q word, and we don't, but it's uneventful for pretty much 2 weeks, right?
Yeah, it has been. So let's see if we can keep that going. You know, sooner or later, I'm going to be on here with a lot to tell you about. But yeah, it's been another uneventful couple of weeks.
Hey, we'll take it. That's good news. One of the other pieces of news that came out of the City Council agenda meeting on Monday, Amy Lavoie telling us that we've got a new piece of equipment coming.
PPD, they requested a tactical vehicle that you recall that would our SWAT team would. It's our SWAT team vehicle that was ordered. So that has been on order and we're awaiting delivery of that.
Now, why on earth would you need to upgrade such a fine piece of modern equipment as the plumber's van third hand that SWAT has been operating out of for like 2 decades?
Well, the best reason I can think of is because our SWAT team members are not plumbers. You got to understand, when SWAT is called out, that is the very worst of the worst situations that officers can be in. That's why they're specially trained. That's why they have special weapons, and they need that vehicle to be able to go closer to the situation and have protection. We've had to borrow, and thank goodness for the Sheriff's Department and Sheriff Chip Simmons for letting us borrow their resources when we need them. They get them to us quickly, but having our own is certainly going to help, and it's long overdue, and we're very glad that this is finally being addressed.
And I think also, if I remember correctly, Amy was saying, she's the CFO for the city, saying that you're also getting the better fencing around the Haines Street offices and, you know, a couple of other kind of security-related measures, which are all just sort of, well, duh, right? These are important things.
Well, again, there's a need there. We've had numerous people caught in the back of the parking lot there trying to get into vehicles in their impound lot. We had one of our cruisers set on fire. So it's a need that we needed this for a long time, and we're glad to see it coming.
Very good. One of the other things that's up for the conversation tonight is going to be on the graffiti bridge warning system. And we have lots of conversations about this. It's in one way, it's very much an iconic event here in Pensacola when the trucks hit the bridge. And, you know, we all love graffiti bridge, and some of us love being aghast at the trucks hitting it. But from a public safety and man hours perspective, this really isn't a laughing matter, right?
No, it's not. It does take a lot of man hours to do this.
And hopefully, you know, something's getting done. We've been wanting something done for years, and there's been issues with one side being the city and the other side being the state. And, you know, it comes a good time to thank the mayor, D.C. Reeves, for that, you know, the equipment and the improvements around the station. There's a lot of positive things going on that he's responsible for, and we're glad to see that happen.
Yeah, and no, I am very optimistic. I think anything that reduces the number of bridge strikes is a good thing. And, you know, as the mayor told us yesterday, it's not going to look quite like that picture. He should have known better than to put the picture out quite like that. But it should not be quite that ghastly looking. And if it has some effect, even if it cuts it down in half, you know, that's still a good thing, both for manpower, for, you know, traffic flow, manpower for you guys, and also for those people who suffer the hits. We always like to end on a did you know or a cop myth. Do you have one for us this week, Mike?
Yeah, I do. And who do you think, driver-wise, age-wise, gets the most traffic tickets?
Oh, well, I would assume that it's young males, that it's, you know, 16 to 25-year-old men.
Is it me?
What?
That's a very specific demographic.
Candy. There's always hope. Yeah. So, look, while you may assume that the younger drivers are more likely to receive traffic tickets, it's actually not the case. According to data, and this is not Pensacola Police Department data, this is nationwide, it's really experienced drivers who need to brush up on the rules. Studies are showing that individuals who are between the ages of 50 and 64 are most likely to have received a speeding ticket in the past 5 years. In addition to that, 70% of drivers in this age group say they have received at least one speeding ticket in their lifetime. Now, drivers in the 30 to 49-year-old range are the most ticketed. So, you know, and then it goes on to say that the millennials, who are now ages, I don't know, 27 to 42, 43, are the most dangerous drivers, while baby boomers, 60 to 77, were found to be the safest.
Well, that seems a little self-serving.
Well, you can't argue with the data.
Yeah, and way to attack Candy and me. I mean, me at 52 and her at 29. I mean, way to just throw us under the bus there about that. So, that makes sense to me, though, because I can see how drivers at let's say, an age near mine are likely to say the following to themselves: I'm capable, I'm able, I know what's a safe speed for me to drive. Besides, the officer's not going to give me a ticket. I'm a responsible member of society. I think that's what happens in their minds. Okay. And then, oh, dang it. Look at that.
Okay, well, while we're dealing with that mindset, then, we've got heavy rain coming in. Please do not drive through the 17th Avenue trestle when it gets flooded here in a few minutes.
Absolutely.
Don't think that you can do that and get away with it.
That's exactly right. Don't drive through the water. It can be bad for you, bad for your car. And, I mean, depending on how serious the water is, you can die from it as well. Mike Wood, he is the Public Information Officer for PPD. As always, Mike, thanks for the time. Thanks for the reminder about underneath 17th Avenue at the trestle. I appreciate it, sir. We'll talk to you next week.
Thank you.
Candy now has traffic on the files. Are you safe enough to be trusted to do a traffic report? I mean, with your well-known
young prowess,
documented...
Yeah, right? Oh, my goodness. No, I haven't gotten any tickets here. Thank God. But I get your reasoning for that. The only slowdown I'm seeing is on 98 as you're heading towards Lillian in that one area. I'm sure they're still doing road construction. And it's backed up again as you're heading towards the Ace Hardware of West Pensacola. It is backed up eastbound on 98 headed towards that. And then, of course, westbound on the other side. I imagine that's road construction in the area on 98 near Lillian Highway. Traffic tip, by all means, please text them in. 437-1620 News Radio. 92.3, informative, local, dependable. And we're still getting the text on the tall ships.
Yeah, let's go ahead and tell them what we know, which is...
I asked somebody from Visit Pensacola who's like in charge. There's a captain's meeting at 10 a.m. with the Coast Guard to determine what's going to happen.
Okay.
So if they're still going to do the arrival and all that. I don't know about rescheduling or canceling or anything. They don't know. They're going to discuss it at 10.
Yeah, and look, these are obviously the nature of these ships makes them dependent upon certain weather conditions and, you know, subject to those weather conditions. So, you know, pay attention and we'll have more information as soon as we know. One thing I was told, do we know for a fact about the one tall ship is still in transit and having trouble and we're going to supplement with a Coast Guard cutter?
I'm not sure.
Okay.
I asked Brent, who works to Visit Pensacola. He told me about the meeting. And at 10 a.m. is they're going to decide everything.
Okay, fair enough. Right now, by the way, the weather has gotten here a lot faster than we expected. I had been thinking 10 o'clock, but it got here faster than that. So, I mean, we're getting hard rain on Three Mile Bridge right now. Reports of rain in Perdido. If I'm looking at my News Radio ThreatNet radar map, the center of Escambia County, which is north of I-10, is getting pounded right now. And again, this weather system is anticipated to bring possible severe weather, even, you know, the hail was what Alan Strom was saying last night might be a possibility. So just be careful this morning, you know, put your lights on. If you have to go slow because of hard rain, it is legal now in the state of Florida to drive with your flashers on. That got changed last year. But, you know, please exercise caution. Just like Mike said, it's better to be slow than to get into a wreck. I mean, that's just always the rule. 750 here on News Radio 92.3. If you're thinking about buying that next vehicle, Frontier Motors is a great place to buy a good car. Used vehicles, 1, 2, 3 years old, low miles, great condition, good prices. And, you know, when you go there, what happens is, you know, you find something weird out about them. They'll actually help you buy a car from somebody else. And if that sounds weird, well, it is, but this is how they do it. When you look at one of their cars, they'll give you the price sheet, and then attached to that, stapled to it on the back, is a Carfax. If you don't know, Carfax is just kind of the maintenance vehicle service repair history to the degree that things have been reported to Carfax. So it's not 100%, but it's better than nothing by a lot. I still recommend if you're buying a used vehicle, especially just from like somebody, okay, go get a used vehicle inspection from a mechanic you trust first. It's worth the like, what, $75 or $100 that that's going to cost you. Well worth it. But if you are buying, you know, Facebook Marketplace, some individual, or you go into a corner lot somewhere, whatever, and they don't give you a Carfax, well, it's real simple. Just take that VIN to Frontier and say, Andrew says you give them a Carfax for free. They will, and then you have it. Why would they help you buy a car from someone else? Because they can. Because they know it's helpful. It's that simple. They just want to be a service to the community. So, you know, when I say, people think I use words lightly. I don't use any words lightly. You know, I'm a philosopher, okay? Words matter to me. When I say that Frontier Motors has been serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years behind the big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway, I mean that.
Join Travis Thompson with Climatech, a professional air, an American Standard heating and air conditioning independent customer care dealer in the Pensacola area on the Pensacola Expert Panel today at 9:30. Join in as Travis discusses how you can lower your energy bill and create a healthy, comfortable home. Join him today at 9:30 on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Tall ships are coming! The tall ships are coming! Tall Ships America is bringing its Tall Ships Challenge back to Pensacola April 27th through the 30th. 5 tall ships will be available for on-deck tours, sailaways, and a variety of special events and festival festivities. Buy your tickets to the Tall Ships at tallshipspensacola.org. Let the tall ships take you back in time at tallshipspensacola.org. That's tallshipspensacola.org.
Tune in to the Pensacola Expert Panel today at 9 when Molly and Angela from the First City Arts Center will be on the show talking about Create a Sphere Summer Camp for school-aged children and teens with theme-based weeks. Also, their Hot Glass Cold Brew event coming up May 5th in their 17th annual Pumpkin Patch. That's all today at 9 with the First City Arts Center and the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable. Informative news and talk. Local news and talk. And dependable news and talk. Now on the FM dial at 95.3.
$2.
Yeah, I'm gonna take my horse through the old town road. I'm gonna ride till I can't no more. I'm gonna take my horse through the old town road. I'm gonna ride till I can't no more.
I got the horses in the back. Horse stock is attached.
If you're not, you know, hip swirling, that's, you know how some music just naturally produces certain body motions?
Yes,
that's one. That's absolutely one. 753 on
Nas X.
That's right. 753 on News Radio 90. Oh, hey, how about that? 753 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I got a note in here. It's worth mentioning, and I apologize, Candy, if you said this already. Sometimes we do duplicate each other. But Highway 90 near the airport, near airport, sorry, is what it says.
Uh-huh.
Santa Rosa County Sheriff's Office is setting up a perimeter and has bloodhounds out. Traffic is backing up.
Oh, no. Okay.
So, you know, and in the weather, you know, that's here. So just
golly.
FYI.
Well, I hope everybody's safe, of course.
David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
The Pope will allow women to vote for the first time at a meeting of bishops. The Vatican making that announcement yesterday, a move by Pope Francis designed to give women more say in the Roman Catholic Church. The Massachusetts Air National Guard member accused of leaking all those classified military documents is going to be back in court today. Jack Teixeira scheduled for a federal detention hearing. Prosecutors want the 21-year-old to remain in custody with no bail while he waits for his trial. And the president of South Korea will be addressing a joint meeting of Congress today. Yoon Suk-yeol has been meeting with President Biden at the White House this week. It'll be the first South Korean president to address Congress in 10 years. The U.S. and South Korea released an agreement this week called the Washington Declaration, which gives South Korea more say in strategy involving nuclear weapons in the incident of a conflict with North Korea.
All right. Thanks so much, David. Candy now with Traffic on the Fives.
Got a text telling people to remind them to turn your lights on. And make sure that people can see your front lights. And, of course, it's for your brake lights, too, so they can see behind you. Yep. Just at hard rain on Three Mile Bridge, as Andrew mentioned, on Highway 90 near the airport in Milton. Bloodhounds are out. There's a police force there. Santa Rosa County Sheriff's Department is there. It looks like they're looking for someone. So caution there. It's got stuff backed up. 89 and Barlow Road and Jay is showing a roadblock this morning. Caution there. And then, of course, 98 near Lillian backing up eastbound and then a little bit westbound by the Ace Hardware, of course, as they continue with road construction this morning. Certainly, if you have a traffic tip, text 437-1620, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, Candy. White House press conference, Corinne Jean-Pierre asked about President Biden's re-election announcement.
Does the president plan to serve all 8 years?
I'm just not going to get ahead of the president. That's something for him to decide. I'm just not going to get ahead of it. And there's a 2024 campaign. Anything related to that, I would refer you to that.
Well, yes, would be the answer you want to hear. I mean, you know, she wants to give, and she's laughing at the question because they were asking her a lot of questions about the campaign announcement, and she kept referring everything. Now that there is an announcement that he's running for re-election, the Hatch Act requires that she, as the White House employee, not engage in campaign-related activities because that would violate federal law. So she's like, you got to ask the campaign. But, you know, is he going to serve out the full term? A yes is a fine answer, or yes, he intends to, instead of, well, you know, I don't know, maybe I don't laugh at the question. I'm not quite sure. I don't get ahead of the president.
I'm just not going to get ahead of the president. That's something for him to decide. I'm just not.
Get ahead of the president. That's something for him to decide. Get ahead. What, like for 4 years from now, for 5 years? And it's a weird answer. Also, now you're probably going to hear this announcement and it's going to seem like a negative to you, but I think this is actually a good news note. Because she was asked the question about gun violence and a declaration of a public health national emergency around gun violence. This has been one of the things that conservatives and gun rights advocates have been concerned, especially given the experiences of COVID, where the federal government just wildly overstepped its authority, that they might try to do something like that in the realm of guns and gun violence. And here was her comment.
The president has been calling gun violence a public health epidemic. He's been doing that for several years now, before even he became president, and he'll continue to do so. You've heard many of us in this administration call the gun violence that we're seeing an epidemic that we're seeing in this country. But with respect to a legal declaration of a public health emergency, the president's team has looked into this and have done a little bit of a dive in into this issue. And based on their current analysis and what they've been able to come up with, the legal grounds for declaring gun violence a public health emergency is questionable, and it would not actually provide any meaningful funds or authorities.
So what she's saying is that at this point, they don't see any value in trying to approach it that way, that it wouldn't do what they want to do, which is a weird kind of, you know, that they're not going to try to approach it that way. But obviously with the languaging, when they're calling it an epidemic and a crisis, you know, you can see why they might think that way. By the way, just as of 5 minutes ago, the National Weather Service of Mobile put out a special weather statement. It does not yet really include us, but it is everything to the north and west of us. So this is recommending that we be aware that there's a 30-mile-an-hour wind advisory and pea-size hail possible in basically Pritchard, Stapleton, Bay Minette, Stockton, you know, that area.
Oh, and congratulations. Then, so, you got your wish.
Well, I didn't yet. And this is going to be heading, of course, to the northwestern portion of Escambia County. And they're like right on the verge of getting it here anytime. So severe weather is possible in the north part of the county. And, of course, the whole county. We're going to be paying attention today.
You're listening to News Radio 92.3 WNRP Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.